Weekly, we focus on the work of area organizations advancing inclusion and equity in our community. This morning, we welcome Annette Vandenberg, Executive Director of the West Grand Neighborhood Organization, to discuss the lack of affordable housing in Grand Rapids. Of course, joining the discussion is our WGBU grant writer, Steve Chappell. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, Shelley.
Mariana Avila, colleague, involved with the great work you do. Good morning to you, Mariano.
And good morning, Shelley.
Yes. All right, Steve, if you could finish the sentence on this is a lucky opportunity on behalf of W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
It's a wonderful opportunity. We are proud and committed and take our work very seriously through a grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, trying to explore issues that contribute to racialized outcomes impacting primarily children and families of color. Toward that end, again, we've received a grant from Kellogg now, and we'll be hiring a second inclusion reporter. In fact, if anyone's interested, the posting just came out on the Grand Valley State University jobs page, so take a look there. And then along with Mariano and a host of other community partners, including Partners for Racism Free Community, the Lakeshore Ethnic Diversity Alliance, Link Up, and on and on. We are going to be doing two things: producing content, taking that content into the community to spark conversations, and then also training individuals, leaders in the community, to focus on issues that they're in touch with, that are important, and trying to make this a more respectful environment for all residents.
Your follow-up on that, Mariano?
Yeah, we're very excited about that. I look forward to having a new colleague in the newsroom, so that'll be exciting. And we're going to be seeking out opportunities to speak to people like Annette about issues that disproportionately affect those with fixed incomes, people of color, children of color, and some of the causes behind that. But also, obviously, talk to folks who are trying to address these issues.
Annette Vandenberg, thank you. Executive Director of the West Grand Neighborhood Organization. Tell us about your organization.
Hi, yes. Thank you, Shelley. Our organization has existed for about 45 years. It started as a grassroots effort in the community. They wanted to address issues that were happening, such as trash in the alleys and things like that, and crime prevention. And in 1980, formalized as a 501c3, and have been working on issues of education for those people that live in people of color, and well as living in poverty, in addition to housing, public safety, everything that surrounds our community. And a lot of the issues that we're seeing truly are a result of lack of access to safe, affordable housing. And so a lot of our families are in survival mode versus being able to thrive.
Mariano?
Yeah, and that's, I think, one of the things that's being felt around the city, which is, like Annette said, lack of safe and affordable housing. And it's there's a lot of different types of causes, but I think one of the things that Annette and I have talked about in the past is a combination of people who are looking at Grand Rapids as an investment opportunity and sitting on properties for extended periods of time. And on the safety side, even local people who are perhaps not keeping up their properties despite having the means to do it and taking advantage of the market to jack up prices for renters. So you might have a house, but you might be charged 30% more next year than you are now and still not have your windows fixed or your piping fixed or have an affordable means of heating your house. So those are some of the situations that we've been talking about and some of the things that Annette works on.
Annette?
Yes, so we work on a lot of different issues. Just recently, I had a tenant come to me right before the public hearing on the zoning changes that were proposed for Grand Rapids that were tied into supposedly being able to help affordable housing, which there's hasn't been any data to support that yet. And this resident came to us because her landlord had given her a notice to quit. And he stated the reason that he was giving, even though she'd been a good renter, she'd been paying her rent on time for the last 8 years, she'd taken care of the property, his reason was giving her the notice to quit was because once these changes go through, then he'll be able to tear the house down and build up even more dense housing.
Yes. Steve Chappell.
Well, one thing you said that I think is worth talking about a little bit to paint a picture of how this impacts people that are most affected, you use the word survival mode. And I think any one of us in this room or our listeners throughout their lives may have had those times where making ends meet proved difficult for whatever reason, job changes or so forth. But when you said survival mode, so this is a family that may have been paying one level of rent 1 year. All of a sudden, there's an increase. They're having trouble making ends meet anyway. Well, what happens then in that survival mode situation? What are the ramifications, and how does that snowball?
So recently, I was working with a family who lived on McReynolds. And originally, when they moved into McReynolds, they were paying $500 a month for rent. That rent, when the market forces said, oh, we're great now, we're going to start increasing rent, went from $750 one month to $900 the next month. She had to negotiate with him and plead with him to keep it at $900. She's on a fixed income, three boys that are in the Westside schools, and also a disabled vet. And he said, well, you know, you're going to have to figure something out because, you know, I can make a lot more money. And so eventually she ended up having to move away. And during that month of transition, trying to save up enough money to be able to get into a new place, she ended up couch surfing with some friends and her boys. And the utility cost for that house was about $400 a month because of single pane windows, poor roofing. What else was wrong? The furnace was over 20 years old. So all of those things added up. So she was not able to get a lot of things done because she was paying all this extra money in utilities for an 1,100 square foot house. And so then she finally was able to save up enough money, but the only thing that she could find was something that cost $1,300. And she had to save up $2,600 to do that. And the house is over 100 years old. You go into the master bathroom, and yes, there's a jet tub, but you can literally reach your hand in and touch the pipes. It's not finished. There's missing kitchen drawers. There's peeling paint. The washer-dryer hookup is next to impossible to get to. It's like there's a cutout in the wall, and you have to kind of – you can't see this on the radio, but you have to, like, shift your body and do some weird origami in order to get the washer-dryer in there because there's this big, huge support beam in the middle of it. So it's like, okay, yeah, you put washer-dryer hookup, but it's not practical for somebody who's disabled to use.
And another thing you said, Annette, is that another ramification is if that person's evicted, then that negatively impacts their credit score.
Right. So it makes it harder for them to rent another place. It makes them – so they can afford the $1,300, $1,500, but then they can't get a mortgage if they were able – if a house were to come available, like through New Development Corp or Habitat. Mm-hmm. We're thankful for those programs because those are helping our families who are – disproportionately impacted by this housing crisis, but they're not able to get those vacant houses. That there's over 2,500 vacant houses in the city of Grand Rapids.
Wow. What are you thinking, Mariano?
I'm just wondering why those aren't available.
That's a good question.
And obviously this story is one of many stories you could probably share.
Yeah. Yes, I have over 50 stories I could share in the last 2 years that I've been working at West Grand. And I'm sure there's five or six more for each one of those.
It would be easy to have you answer the question, what do we do about this?
Well, I think we have to look at what historically has caused this. Mm-hmm. And it's the redlining that's caused some of this. It's policies. It's there's not a good way to hold bad actors accountable. And we regulate milk prices, we regulate gas prices, but we don't regulate housing. And housing is the key to making sure people can thrive.
You said there's no way to hold people accountable. What may informed residents do that are caught in a situation where it is not environmentally safe to live in a house, or you have this fluctuation in rent? Who can that resident reach out to?
So the residents can reach out to the neighborhood orgs so that that information can be gathered, because in numbers we have power. And then we can go to our city commissioners and our county commissioners and our state representatives and ask for policy changes, because in Michigan it's we're not allowed to do rent control because of the U.S. our constitution. There's no inclusionary zoning because of our constitution. So really we have to go to the state level to change policy so that local communities have control over their land use.
And we're talking about state constitution, not...
Right, the state constitution.
Yeah, because, I mean, New York, there's people that have historically lived in Brooklyn and Harlem, neighborhoods like that that, you know, used to be where poor people were pushed to, and more recently they've become celebrity hubs. You know, the Clintons live in Harlem, and Ethan Hawke, the actor, lives in Brooklyn. Without rent control, you wouldn't have people that can have historically lived there, still living there. And I think similar things are happening here, except we don't have options for rent control. And this is not, I'm not saying this out of advocacy, I'm just saying this is the effect of not having rent control, is people who have primarily lived in certain neighborhoods for, you know, 2-3 generations longer are now having to be pushed out to Kentwood or Wyoming or Jenison.
Steve, we have about 3 more minutes left. This is important to discuss.
Well, I just piggyback on your statement. What may our listeners do if they're concerned about this issue for themselves or neighbors, or just concerned, period? Are there, you know, websites they can go to? Are there meetings held in Kent County, Grand Rapids area they can go to learn more if they want to contact you to volunteer their services?
All the neighborhood organizations are working together to address housing affordability. In addition, there's Homes for All. We're trying to form a tenants union, which would give us the ability to organize and start holding some of the bad actors, some of our landlords who are not improving their properties but yet charging market rate.
Great.
And obviously, it all starts with a contact to you, Annette Vandenberg, Executive Director of the West Grand Neighborhood Organization.
Thank you.
How do we do that?
Oh, my email is Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E, at westgrand.org, or you can call us at the office at 616-451-0150.
I don't want to cut you off that quickly. You get, you know, as much information as we can.
We're also on Facebook and the internet at www.westgrand.org.
West Grand Neighborhood Organization. And that's West Side, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Should I say West Side's Best Side?
Everybody else
okay. Steve Chappell.
I just invite our listeners to visit the WGVU Radio News page and look for Mutually Inclusive. That's the WGVU Radio News page, and look for the words Mutually Inclusive. If you've heard, missed any part of this interview or want to learn about some of the other issues we've been focusing on.
Great. Anything from you, Mariano?
No, we're just excited to be able to highlight some of these issues and look forward to doing it more.
Great. Thank you for the service you provide. Thanks to W.K. Kellogg Foundation, aimed at increasing West Michigan's capacity to influence public narrative affecting kids and families of color. Annette Vandenberg, again, thanks on behalf of West Grand Neighborhood Organization, Steve Chappell and Mariano Avila. 10:57 in the morning. I'm Shelley Irwin. Good day to you. Thanks for listening.